Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we're off and running on this Tuesday, May the 12th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride. Thank you, Ted Williams, for that introduction. And has become customary every Tuesday, we will be joined by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer, in hour number two. And here in hour number one, amid the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, we are joined by Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. This is a big week in the COVID-19 saga that we've all been going through. Restaurants will be able to have, reopen, have business outside. Barbershops will be allowed to open. Retail will be allowed to open. What do you make of all the changes that will happen this week?
Well, I'm kind of split about how I feel about them. On the one hand, I'm glad things are opening up and people can get back to a sense of normal. On the other hand, it, you know, increases our workload, and you know, we're already kind of overwhelmed over here. So, you know, we get a lot of calls from people who are, you know, either upset that they have to wear a mask or upset that people weren't wearing masks. And, you know, it's kind of all over the gamut, you know, as people try to learn how to navigate all of this stuff.
Now, as people go out this week, just so they can understand over the airwaves here, what is the rule with the masks? What do people have to do? What do people not have to do as these establishments open back up?
Employees are required to wear a mask. So anybody going back to work should be wearing a mask while they're at work. If you're not working, if you're the customer, you don't have to wear a mask. But that business can institute their own rule to say that all their customers have to wear masks. So that part is up to the individual businesses if they want to require it or not for their customers and clients. If you're going to get your hair cut, you will be asked to wear a mask because you have that such close contact with the person cutting your hair.
That's interesting. So if people go to the barbershop or the hair salon this weekend, they have to take a mask with them.
Yes. And I think, you know, a lot of them are working on trying to find some to have if people don't, you know, have their own. But certainly my person who cuts my hair sent an email to all of her clients and said, bring a disposable one if you're getting your hair colored so that you don't ruin, you know, your cloth one. But yeah, you will be asked to wear a mask when you go get your hair, nails, anything like that when you're in such close contact.
We have been talking about the best way to stay well during this whole mess, and for a long time it's been to stay home and stay out of contact with people. With businesses opening back up, that's kind of a sign for people to go back out. What are the best ways to stay well now in a world where you can get a haircut, where you can go to retail, where as of Friday and early next week you will be able to go to restaurants again?
Well, just, you know, play it safe. Keep your distance from people, and try to limit the amount that you go out as much as you can. So, you know, everybody, you know, deserves to go to the store, go to the mall, go get their hair cut, go get something to eat at a restaurant. But, you know, maybe you don't do it every day. Maybe you make it a special occasion situation so that you're limiting your exposure that way. If it looks crowded, go someplace else. And the biggest thing is just to keep in mind that we're counting on each other to protect ourselves. So if you're not sick, you're counting on somebody else who to also not be sick in order to keep, you know, everybody healthy. So the biggest thing that people can do is if you're having any kind of symptoms at all or a fever or if you've been exposed to somebody who is a positive case, is for you to just stay home, and that protects all the rest of the people, you know, that would be at that restaurant or whatever.
With the highly contagious nature of this illness, with these places opening back up, how do you feel, how do you see this playing out over the next couple weeks?
I definitely think we'll continue to see a rise in our cases. I think that was inevitable. We are still in the middle of a pandemic, and what we were able to do with a stay-at-home order was allow businesses the time to figure out a plan for how they're going to function during a pandemic and allow hospitals to get a grasp on it and allow our first responders to get a grasp on everything. But we are still in this pandemic, and so having those increases in cases is inevitable. So now we're going to have to figure out a way to live with this pandemic happening. So there will be more cases, there will be more hospitalizations, things like that. So the interesting part, sort of from a public health science perspective, is how many of those people are going to have mild symptoms or be asymptomatic, and, you know, will we start to see more of the severe cases pick up? So that's going to be kind of something that we have to watch. We've been lucky in Marion in the sense that we've only had one community death. And, you know, we would like to keep it that way. But I think we're going to see those deaths go up probably as we get more and more cases.
What is the current state in Marion as of right now, number-wise?
We have 2,404 cases. Of those, 171 are community cases.
Mm. What does that look or sound about right for a community of our size?
Well, when you compare where everybody else is, we are definitely high. We're close to what Delaware has, just to put it in perspective. But Delaware's population is significantly larger than ours. So that's why we get all that attention for our per capita number of cases being, you know, extremely high for the state and nationally compared to other counties of our size.
Mm. What is the long-term plan for this? Because we don't know when the vaccine's going to come. We know there's going to be no county fair this year. We know people are looking at the Popcorn Festival. There's going to be a meeting on May 21st. All kinds of things are being canceled. Yet yesterday we hear that Major League Baseball might resume in July. What do you think, how long is this going to go, and what's it going to look like?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I think it depends a lot about how many people will have it but be asymptomatic versus people that get sick, and how it impacts our economy through businesses. You see it kind of all over the country now with meat plants having outbreaks in their facilities and having to shut down. And so those are the things that we're trying to avoid. And the way that we do that is by having testing available and people staying home when they're sick. And so that's going to, you know, kind of decide how bad the pandemic gets for us here, and that the severity of the pandemic will then decide what can open, what can't, what's safe to do. And so I think the next month or so is going to help us determine, you know, the course of the rest of the year. We need to see, do our cases really spike all over the state, all over the country? And were we able to contain it on our own by doing social distancing and staying home when we're sick and things like that? Are people taking that seriously and doing it? And then we can kind of start to see what July is going to look like, August, based on the data that we get from the next month or so.
Mm. It's all very interesting because I was reading an article yesterday about how colleges are going to get together and decide in the fall, how are we going to do this? Same thing with public schools. Nothing definitive has been said yet, but is it feasible that this is still going to be around and this is still going to be a big issue and it's still going to be affecting how we live our lives into September of next year?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be around for at least a year, if not longer. And then it's just a matter of what does that year look like, though? How severe is it going to be? We've talked before about how second waves are typically much more severe than first waves. And a lot of that has to do with people letting their guards down and the processes that you went through in the beginning to contain it are no longer there. And so, you know, it's going to be one of those things that is going to be with us for a long time. and it will change sort of how we function. And so, yeah, I think everybody's trying to make these plans kind of in the dark right now, not knowing how this disease is going to spread. And the most interesting part for me is that this is the first time in history that we are able to change the direction of a pandemic because we have the science and the knowledge about what to do and what not to do. So it's now up to us to say we know how to minimize our risks. Will we follow through and do it?
One of the biggest effects of this has been how people will graduate high school, the class of 2020. Last week we talked about conversations going on and meetings going on, and we've seen some pictures online of things people are doing. Do we know more about that now here in Marion of how that's all going to play out over the next month?
Well, I think, you know, the schools are, they've sent letters out to their seniors to let them know how graduation in their particular district is going to go. A lot of them are doing a drive-through type setting where you stay in your car and get your diploma or jump out of your car, have your picture taken with your diploma and with the, you know, your principal, and then kind of head on your way home. So they're trying to make it as meaningful as they can for the kids without creating a lot of exposure. So I feel like they have, you know, good plans in place. It's a meet-in-the-middle kind of situation. We would have preferred those virtual ones just for the protection of everybody, but I think they're all meeting the state guidelines. So I hope that people, you know, respect the process, stay in your car, don't get out and hug and, you know, hang out with your friends that you haven't seen in a few months and, you know, keep that process moving. And then that, you know, hopefully there will be time for celebrating later. And we'll just have to wait and see what that looks like.
Now, the prison continues to be a topic of conversation just because of the number of cases and the deaths that are coming out of there. Is this ever going to be under control to a certain degree? What are we hearing out of MCI at this point?
Well, when you look on the coronavirus.ohio.gov website, you can pull up the corrections, the rehabilitation and corrections report. And on there, what they're doing is they're moving their positive cases over to recovered or hospitalized. And so you can start to see that a lot of people are recovered. So their number of current cases is going down, which is good. They still have quite a few hospitalizations. But, you know, I think, you know, it takes 2, 3, 4 weeks for the disease to run its course. And so after that, we'll continue to see the numbers keep going down. So I think they're getting close, you know, to being to the end of it in terms of people inside the facility that are that have the disease. I think we'll see more deaths, just being honest. They do have a lot of people hospitalized, and a lot of that population, and this is just, you know, in general, I don't have any information about the, you know, their exact ages and stuff, but a lot of the population at MCI is older and does have those chronic health conditions. So right now we have 59 hospitalizations in Marion. Only around 16 of those are community members. The rest are prison inmates.
So much of this is just kind of guessing at this point, and we have learned that the Marion County Fair is not going to go on. We have learned that there are fireworks shows that are not going to happen. We know now from the mayor that on May the 21st, there's going to be a meeting with the Popcorn Festival people to decide what's going to go on there. The Aquatic Center usually opens Memorial Day weekend. That's coming up very soon. What is your feeling and recommendation as health commissioner for things like the Aquatic Center and Popcorn Festival at this time?
Well, I definitely think that the Aquatic Center should hold off on opening. There's no real good way, you know, starting Memorial Day to social distance unless they were really going to limit the amount of people they have, but then you're all getting in the water together and things like that. So I feel like, you know, that definitely needs to hold off until we see what we're actually working with as we start to open stuff up. If I had to decide today about the popcorn festival, I would probably say it would be too risky to have it, just because there's so many people crowded on all of the streets all at the same time, and there would be absolutely no way to control that. And so, you know, you don't want to be known as the event that caused a huge outbreak with lots of lives lost, you know, and so that's what you're kind of weighing it against. Do you have this festival that may result in deaths? And so that's, you know, the decisions that people kind of have to weigh. So if it has to be made today, that would be my recommendation. Obviously, you know, we'll see how the summer goes. But right now, any of those large gatherings are just so risky.
As far as restaurants go, when the doors open back up on Friday and people are allowed to go outside and eat, and then next week when they open up inside, what is a restaurant going to look like? What are the rules for restaurants?
Well, they're going to be at half of their normal capacity so that they can spread people out throughout the restaurant. The servers will be wearing masks. They don't have to wear gloves. So a lot of people call here saying that, you know, they went to get food and the person wasn't wearing gloves. They just have to practice really good hand hygiene. But so you may have, you know, your group of people, and then there may not be anybody for a few tables trying to keep more than 6 feet distance. So I would expect longer waits and things like that as you wait to get in the restaurant.
As you continue to get the calls, what are people's biggest misconceptions about this reopening and COVID-19 as it all relates together?
You know, it kind of runs the gamut. So on one side, we have a lot of people who say, you know, having less than 200 cases seems small to them, and they feel like we're overreacting, and that they should be able to do, you know, whatever they want to do normally. And for that, you know, it's how many cases, you know, is enough for it to be big. We certainly have more cases than anybody our size. And, you know, we are trying to keep that number down and trying to keep the health of the community. You know, that's our main priority, is prevention of people getting sick, winding up in the hospital, or even dying. So we take every single one of those cases seriously. And then you have, you know, the other side where people are really upset that somebody's, you know, at the grocery store or wherever they happen to be isn't wearing their mask and isn't taking it seriously enough, and they feel like we should go there, you know, to that restaurant or to that grocery store and, you know, make sure everybody that comes through there has a mask on. So, you know, people are all over the place in terms of how serious they think the disease is, and where they feel like, you know, the government involvement should be. So it's really hard to navigate and find that balance between both of those sides.
Tracy, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you, there will only be one health commissioner during this time, as far as we know, certainly so far, here in Marion. What has this been like for you to go through this so far?
It has been hard, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of wondering if you're doing enough. You know, certainly this wasn't something I expected to happen right now, though we've been trained for it since I started at Public Health 10 years ago. We, you know, we anticipated having a pandemic sometime in the first, you know, quarter of the new century. So we were training for it, but yeah, it's been really hard. It's been eye-opening. You know, you really do see people's true colors in an emergency situation. So you're seeing, you know, how people, you know, really feel about things and stuff like that, which is hard to navigate. But I've also seen the community come together in really powerful ways, and it makes me really proud to be a resident of Marion. And the staff that we have here at the health department working on this are so passionate about it and committed to it and putting in such long hours. It makes me really proud to be a part of this team.
Tracy, I know I said that was going to be the last question, but I did want to clear up one thing, because this question gets asked a lot. When you wear a mask, whether you're an employee or a customer or whatever you are, this protects you How does that work? It protects them from you, but
yes.
not you from the illness. Is that
right? Yes. So it protects the other person from you. So we don't. I don't know if I, you know, have COVID or not. If I'm asymptomatic, or maybe I'm in the beginning stages where I just feel a little cruddy, but I don't feel bad enough to think that I might have it. So if I'm wearing my mask, it's protecting the person next to me from some of my bigger droplets. And, you know, if I'm taking deep breaths or coughing or yawning, it's protecting people from those bigger droplets so that if I happen to be contagious, they have some protection from me from being in the same room with me. So it doesn't really protect me from you because your bigger droplets are able to kind of get through. So it's very confusing, you know, how these masks work and how they protect people. But it's really something that you're doing for the benefit of others around you more than you're doing to protect yourself.
And just to be clear on that, because I've heard this said so many times, if you are an employee at a business and you have a mask on and you have a customer who comes in who's not mandated to wear it, if they have it, there is still a possibility of you getting it.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, for
yeah.
sure.
It's very interesting. Tracy, you know, the mask thing has become such a thing in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it really has.
And I think it's going to get bigger as more
too.
Businesses open up. But Tracy, it's always such a great thing to talk with you and get information like this, which the public needs to know. And we will do it again next Tuesday.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Now, there you go. There's the story behind the masks as we have it. If you have a mask on, it does not protect you from getting the illness. Now, we've got to remember that. But if you wear a mask and you have the illness, it'll stop you from spreading it. So that's been a complicated thing for people to understand for some reason. But now you know, and we don't know who's asymptomatic and who's not asymptomatic, and as the businesses open up, is that going to be a problem? Who knows? Now, I did think it was an interesting quote today. We don't know about the Popcorn Festival yet, which happens the first weekend after Labor Day, but we do know that Tracy feels at this particular point, if the decision had to be made today, that it would be too risky to get that kind of a crowd together. So that's interesting. And the Aquatic Center opening on Memorial Day, definitely not a good idea. But how long is the Aquatic Center season? How long do we have good weather? And when people go back to school, are they still going to go to the Aquatic Center? Certainly not during the day. It's a very complicated time. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, about what Tracy just said, and we'll have the mayor on next hour and talk more and discuss what the mayor has to say. But the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. 38 minutes past the hour. Now, let's see here. What do I want to talk about this morning? You know, Major League Baseball. I heard yesterday that Major League Baseball plans to open up in July. Now, what states are they going to play in? What states are they going to be allowed to play in? I don't know, but I love the idea that Major League Baseball is opening. But again, you know, you got to wonder, can you get that large group of people together? Will there be people in the stadiums? Are they just going to play without people? I think they're discussing that right now. You know, are they just going to bring the players in and do it that way? We'll all find out as we head into the month of July, a very tricky, tricky time. Okay, now there were some things I was going to talk about this morning that I scratched off the list this morning. But that's no big deal. You always got to have a plan B. You always got to have a plan B when you're coming to radio, and that is no problem this morning because there are some things that I did want to talk about. Now, yesterday, now here was something. We talk about food a lot on this show. Now, yesterday, I went and visited with some people, hung out with some people, I guess, as it were, and they were trying some new, I guess, recipes is what you would say. And I think they were trying to be a little more on the healthy side. So what they had made, they had used almond flour, bananas, fresh bananas, as far as I know, and cream cheese and some kind of sweetening agent to make the cream cheese icing. So what this essentially was a banana cake with almond flour and cream cheese icing. Now here's what I have to say. This was absolutely delicious, and it doesn't sound like it would be very delicious, and obviously, as you know, I can be a very picky eater. I don't like gravy. I don't like any kind of gravy. I don't like peanut butter, but one thing I do like is almond flour making up a banana cake with cream cheese icing. Now, who would have thunk that? It was great. And the funny thing was, I raved so much about this cake yesterday as I was eating it. And trust me, it was about as homemade can get. Truly made from scratch. The person must be into an almond thing because they had bread made with almond flour, I guess is what it was, and also cinnamon bread made with almond flour. So I had not tried it, but they gave me a few slices of each to take home and try, which I have not done yet. I was going to do it this morning, but I totally forgot about it because obviously the brain does not function. But so now I cannot wait to try this cinnamon bread and this almond flour made bread later today. So looking forward to that as the day goes on. But trust me, the banana cake made with almond flour and cream cheese icing was actually good. So for everybody who listens to me complain about peanut butter and gravy and all those sorts of things, I actually did like the banana cake with almond butter and cream cheese icing. All right. Another thing I wanted to talk about, the barbers and hair salons and some retail outlets and restaurants will be allowed to eat outside. A lot of changes are going to go on as the weekend is upon us, and how's that going to go? Here's what I feel is going to happen with the hair salons and the barbers, because that's the one that I really want to visit, because the hair is getting long. It's really time to take care of this mop on the top of my head. But I get the feeling that this weekend is going to be a bad time to do it. Because from what I understand, we're going to have fairly nice weather this weekend as far as temperatures go, much better than we've had the last 2 days. I don't want to sit in line. Now, I know you can do an online check-in, but I wonder how that's going to go. Now, you did hear from Tracy this morning something very interesting in regard to going to the barber or the hair salon. I had not heard this. If you get your hair cut, you have to wear a mask. Now, I would think that's going to be very interesting when they try to cut over your ears. I don't know how this is all going to work. I don't know how it's all going to go, but I would find that very interesting when you go in to get your hair cut, you know, because they always got to cut out your ears. How are they going to do that with your mask on? Maybe they'll snip the mask. I'm sure everybody will do fine, but it's just very odd. And I think checking in online is going to be tough, because how are you going to gauge how many people... how are you going to gauge the time correctly on getting your hair cut? Because there are people now who have went 2, sometimes 3 months without getting a haircut. And it's going to take a little longer to clean that up. And I think it's going to take a little longer to cut somebody's hair with them wearing a mask. I would think this would create some more difficult circumstances than normally would happen. Also, the distancing that has to go on in these places. I don't know. I cannot wait to see the online check-ins for barbers and hair salons as we get into this weekend. I'm going to give it a shot, but getting in, I think, is going to be some kind of event. Now, here's something I wanted to talk about. Now, there are two things I wanted to mention here. Now, number one, well, first let me come back to this, because I wanted to say this. What I wanted to do today was I wanted to keep up with my word of praising people on the air, because I think this is important.
I think a lot of people are out doing a lot of good things, and I think a lot of people have done a lot of good things, and I think they should be praised for those good things. Compliments are always a good thing, I think, expected or unexpected. Now, here is something, and I cannot remember if I told this story on air or not, but this past weekend, I was with some people, and I told this story, so it's fresh in my brain, and I can't remember if I told it on the air or not. So here's the story, as it were. It was right at the beginning of this whole COVID thing, and we had a lady call in who was an older lady, and at that time, we really knew nothing about this COVID mess or what was going on or what you should do, and people were running to the grocery stores and buying everything, and stores were running out of things. It was really a mess. We didn't know what was going on at all. And one morning we had a lady call in, and I don't even know if she's still out there listening at this point, but we had a lady call in on the air and say, I think she did not drive, was the story, if I remember it right. She didn't drive. She was on a fixed income, being a retired woman. She didn't have any family around here to take her any kind of a food or anything of that nature. And she was worried. And she was wondering if anybody could help her out. And she gave her phone number out over the air. We asked if that was okay for her to give her phone number out. And she did. And before the morning was over, you know, this show's on 8 to 10, before that morning was over, that lady had called back in and said that somebody heard it on the radio. They had been over to her house, they had got her shopping list, they had went to the store for her, and they had brought the food back to her. Now, here's the thing about that. The person who did it was not encouraged by anybody to do it. The person who did it did not have to do it. And remember, this was the beginning of the COVID. We knew even less back then about what was going on and what was contagious, and people were out of masks and stores were out of all kinds of things. And I even think this person paid for it, as a matter of fact. Now, why is this important? Well, that's a very nice deed, and that's something that deserves a pat on the back. Now, I'm not going to tell you who did this, but I did find out over the course of time who did this. And the person who did this, I think, listens to the show. Well, obviously, that's how they heard that this woman was in need. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if I've ever told that story on air, but I did find out who did it. And I just want to say, without saying the person's name, because maybe they wouldn't want me to, I want to say that I thought that was one of the nicest, selfless acts I've ever seen in my life. Because they were not persuaded to do it. They didn't have to do it. It was a scary time. They didn't know this woman from Adam. And they went out and did this. And I was never so impressed with anybody, because I did know this person, and to be honest with you, I always knew they were very nice, I always knew they were very kind, but that level of kindness for a stranger, and to not be acknowledged for it, is really, really something. And as I say, I'm not going to mention the name, because I don't know if they would want me to. Because they didn't do it to get mentioned on the airwaves. I know they didn't. They didn't do it for me to talk about it here. The only reason that I know that they did it is because I don't even remember how I found out that they did it. But it was one of the nicest things that I had ever seen. And I wanted to give somebody a compliment this morning, and that just happened to be something that I was talking about with a group of people this past weekend as one of the major acts of kindness, probably the most major act of kindness I have seen during this whole COVID mess. So, this person, I know you're out there listening. I know you don't need this compliment, but you deserve to be recognized for this. And I debated this morning about saying your name, because I really do want you to be recognized for this, even though I know you, that's not why you did it. I mean, it was like 6 weeks ago now. But not everybody would do that. And I didn't do it, and I was here listening. I took the woman's phone number down. I didn't do it, and a lot of other people listening didn't do it either. So always know, because I know you're listening, that you did it, and I am just tremendously impressed with you. That's one thing. You know, we could live 100 years, and I will always remember that story, because it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with the woman. It had nothing to do with the radio. It had nothing to do with a pat on the back. In fact, I don't think that's why you did it, and we've never talked about it since. But an amazing act of kindness, because you've got to remember that in the beginning of COVID, we're talking about people dying. People were panicked. We're talking about the hospital not being ready and triage units and things of that nature. This was when this was going on. This was the first or second week of the whole COVID mess. It was a mess. And talking about we weren't going to have enough PPE, and people were scared. And this person went out and did it. And I do believe paid for the groceries, because I believe the woman said she didn't have any money who called in. So, you know, good for you. Good for you. That's going to be one of the things that I always remember. And I wanted to compliment somebody this morning. And this, I thought, is a tremendous story. So my Cubs cap is off to you. And I say Cubs cap as we hopefully get ready to go back to baseball season. But she knows who she is. And, you know, maybe one day I will get to say the name on the air, even though I know they didn't do it for that reason. I think this person needs to be recognized, because, you know, it's funny. One thing this COVID thing has done, you know, we all know movie stars, and we all know well-known people, and we all know rich people, and we all know sports figures who make a lot of money and get a lot of attention and that sort of thing. But that's not what this was. That's not what this was at all. And this pulled an older lady out of a jam that she was stuck in. So that's a thing. And we talk a lot about paying it forward. You know, the old Woody Hayes quote, which is where that came from. You know, sometimes you can't pay it back, but you can pay it forward. And I believe this person pays it forward a lot. And when I found out that this was the person who had done it, I was shocked. Because really, I only got the lady who called back in who said that somebody had done it. And then when I found out this person had done it, I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. Because remember, there were other people listening that morning. And listen, I'm with you, other listeners. I didn't do it. I heard it just like everybody else. And so did people around the radio station. We did not run out to do it. Now, maybe that's a shameful moment for us, but it certainly was not a shameful moment for this person, because they went out and did it. So as far as I'm concerned, that person, and they know who they are, is the star today. And I hope they hold their head up high, because that was no small gesture. No small gesture for that woman, no small gesture for the community, and no small gesture just in general. So congratulations, and as I say before, in a hopefully a baseball season that will eventually happen, my Cubs cap is off to you and always will be. So there you go. There's this morning's praise of the morning, which I like to do that. I even like to mention people's names occasionally when I do that, because I think people need to be recognized more often. We complain too much about people. Like last week, we were talking about the Dr. Acton, the people protesting her. You know, that wasn't a pleasant story, because that was people were angry. So every so often, we have to tell a nice story. And I hope that mentioning this on the air this morning made this person's day. And I know they're listening. Okay. But wow, what a shot it was. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a call. Do you have any thoughts on anything that Tracy Kinsler said, or anything else on your mind on this Tuesday morning? Flying right by here, May the 12th, 2020. 740-383-9944. All right, what else is on my agenda for this morning? Oh, fishing. You know, I still want to go fishing, but here's the problem with the fishing right now. I'm not going to go alone, and I'm not sure who I should take. Now, I have this. I have a lot of friends, but you know, I know there are certain friends who would not be good on a fishing trip. So I'm not sure who I should take at this particular point. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Hey, I hear everybody on the radio and on TV gives praise to the doctors and everybody, but you guys forgetting one person.
Okay, go ahead.
Truck drivers. Why don't us truck drivers ever get thanks? If it was for us, you guys wouldn't have food in stores, you wouldn't have clothes on your back, and we don't get thanks. Everybody around us getting thanks and praised.
Oh, no, well, you're right. We are forgetting that, and to be honest with you, the truck drivers do deserve a lot of praise. I know you guys have not stopped working during this. I know you guys are in as much danger as the rest of us are, and if those trucks weren't moving, we wouldn't be getting the food, we wouldn't be getting the product that we need. So absolutely, the truck drivers need to be praised, and I'm glad you pointed that out to us. How are things out there?
Not very good. Because it's hard for us to find, you know, eat out there on the road because all the restaurants is closed. We can't get in there. And it's harder on us than what it ever been.
You know, I never thought about that. But you're right. When you're traveling around, truck drivers usually go to fast food places to get food. And during this time, it's probably more difficult to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, are you getting enough sleep and able to still maintain that schedule even though things have been busier?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty good sleep and stuff, but, you know, you kind of worry going in these truck stops and you don't want to know, you know, anybody in there got the, you know, the flu or anything. It's just more scarier out here and
now,
you know who got what.
Now, when you get out to go to the gas station or wherever you go to get your food, do you carry a mask with you or gloves or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I always have gloves on and mask because, you know, I want to try to keep myself safe. And I got Ellery, father, and, you know, his health ain't real good. And, you know, I want to try to keep it, not get it, you know, get to him or my family.
Absolutely. Now, how have things been? Do you see them getting any better as restaurants and things start to open back up this week?
Hopefully, but I don't really see it, you know, going to get any better right now.
Now, financially, have things been okay? I know a lot of businesses have given bonuses to their employees. Are things good in the trucking industry?
It's about the same. I never see no difference, really.
Well, I'm so glad you called in and pointed this out, because it absolutely is true that the truck drivers are out there, and they're doing a tremendous job right along with everybody else. So I will make sure from now on, when I mention the people who we have to praise, that you are in that group, and I thank you for everything you're doing.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes,
very important not to forget the truck drivers, because they have been out there this entire time as well. And those are the type of calls we need to get, because from time to time our minds do slip a little bit and we forget everybody who's out there doing what needs to be done. And to my knowledge, the truck drivers have never stopped. So there's a group that needs to be mentioned, right along with the person I was mentioning earlier on, right along with the healthcare professionals, right along with the people in the grocery store, right along with everybody who's going to be going back to work this week with masks and things of that nature. It's a tough gig right now, and people are scared. So my Cubs cap is off to you as well. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We've got the mayor coming up next hour. Going to talk to him about a lot of this stuff as well. And, who should I take fishing? Think about this. I've got friends, but, you know, to spend a whole day with somebody out there, you know, near the lake or the pond, who in the world am I going to take that I can stand for that amount of time and have a good time with? Who's going to be my fishing buddy? Who should I take with me? Think about this. What are the qualities that this person needs to have? We're going to talk about this on the other side of the hour, on the other side of talking with Mayor Schertzer, which we'll do for the first 15 minutes of the next hour. Stay tuned. Oh, and I got a medical story for you, too. How about that? Nothing to do with COVID, just a whole nother thing. Coming up in the next hour, don't go anywhere.
It's WWGH 107.1 FM.
We're in tune with WWGH, and we have a lot for you today, including the person we've been talking about for such a long time that was going to come again to WWGH, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers.
Speedy delivery.
Hey. Boy, that sure sounds familiar.
This is WWH.